Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Options right and left. Rafael Leao. A bullet finish from Benacer. And Milan have the advantage from one end of the pitch to the other.
The Calcio Guys is a weekly podcast by Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Della Colli, and myself, Nicholas Di Giovanni. We want to bring Calcio back to its roots in our communities and share stories from around the world about why we're passionate about the beautiful game. You can listen to us anywhere where you listen to your podcasts, including Spreaker, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Mixcloud. Give us your opinion on social media at The Calcio Guys on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. The intro song is Fireworks by Jazar.
If the SpongeBob meme of Squidward looking down on Patrick and SpongeBob was real, that would be here at the Calcio Guys. Adriano, Gianni, I'm Nicholas. I had to watch a Champions League game between two of your teams, Milan and Napoli, today while Juve is still playing on Thursday. So at least I got to wait a day for that in Europa League. But Adriano, Gianni, historical game. First time, I think, since 2006, two Italian teams played each other in the quarterfinals. No, sorry, since 2005, that two Italian teams played each other in the quarterfinals, Champions League, Milan, Napoli. How are you guys feeling?
a little nervous for like number two, but not deflated. I guess that's probably the best word for it. Hopeful, you know, for game number two, but we'll see. How about you, Adri? You must feel elated, huh?
No, I mean, listen, it's not the job's not finished, and it's could have been a lot more today, and I think the scoreline, it shows, you know, 1-0 obviously in favor of Milan, but I think it's a lot further than that from being over. So again, we'll get into it into the show, but again, happy, but still not completely satisfied. Obviously, it's a great small cushion, but definitely should have been more.
I feel like both sets of fans feel a bit disappointed. You know, obviously Napoli fans in the loss and the Milan fans not scoring more than one goal, especially after Napoli went down to 10 men. I mean, I shouldn't talk for you guys, though. Take the floor. Who wants to start? Give us your thoughts on the game. Maybe we should start with Gianni, I guess. We'll start. We'll get all the right negative out of the way. I know, Gianni, you're not too negative anyways, but we'll get the bad out of the way. We'll go to the winning side after.
Okay, so I guess my side of like how I found the game.
Yeah.
So the way I found it was that the first like first 15, 20 minutes or so was just pretty much a Napoli domination. They played very well, firing all cylinders, you know, not getting the hardest of chances or the scariest of chances, but still good looks nonetheless, still some really decent shots, and Maignan came up big. And I was watching the game at Trucciato's with friends. Yeah, shout out to Milan Club Montreal, but I didn't see it with them. They invited me over to watch it with them, but I was already there with other friends, and I was like, I appreciate it, guys. Thank God I did it, because to be the one or two Napoli fans in a crowd full, a sea of red, you know, that's it's a little bit scary and intimidating. Nah, but they're good guys. But anyways, I turned to my buddies, And I said, this is one of those games where Napoli's going to put so much pressure and then one counterattack's going to fuck them over. And what happened? You know, a counterattack, a great turnaround. What was it? Was it Diaz? It was Diaz that did a nice little turnaround, you know, found the right little hole between Zielinski and Anguissa and was just off to the races. And, you know, they had the numbers going into that counterattack and, you know, Mere wasn't able to come up with the big save that he needed to. And I think that was like the one of the few big moments that he had. Even the other one, the Kerr's header, you know, like he wasn't like that was going in if it didn't hit the crossbar. Like he had zero confidence on that. But anyways, I'm getting way off topic. So after that counterattack goal, pretty much Napoli became dismantled and lost full composure. They had full domination. And then after that, they lost it, and you could tell that Milan was in the driver's seat from then on. You know, Anguissa getting two yellows is impactful, but not as impactful as losing Kim Min-jae for the next game. He received a yellow this game, and because he received a yellow in the prior game in the round of 16, he's going to miss the next game versus Milan. So it hurts. It hurts because now the center back pairing for Napoli is going to be Rachmani and Juan Jesus, and I have zero confidence in them to do the job. So, you know, yeah, people are going to say like, okay, but Napoli's going to be different with Osimhen. But I'm like, yes, but you're down a goal. You're going up against a wall of a team in Milan, because last year this was the best defensive team when they had a rotation of Kalulu, Tomori, and Kjaer was injured last year. Kalulu, Tomori, and who was the third center back? Adrian, can you help me out here? Romagnoli. Yeah, and then you had Maignan and Nets, and we saw the difference of Milan this year with pretty much Tatarusanu versus Maignan. You know, the difference is night and day with that back line, and when they have Maignan, they make zero errors. They clean up very well. So you're gonna have to go up against that, even though you might have Osimhen back. You know, you're still gonna have to go up against them. And then they're obviously, you know, they're not like a weak team offensively. So I'm thinking that Milan's gonna get a second goal in this upcoming game. So now you have to pretty much find two goals somewhere and a third if you want to get the W. So overall, after today's game, I'm not saying it's impossible. It's very possible. And the ending, I'm not saying it's a happy thing that Anguissa got the red card. The fact that they were able to still like keep it at a 1-0 game, even though there's some close calls, makes me a little bit more comfortable because, you know, Spalletti decided instead of trying to tie up the game, might as well just try to make park the bus, so to speak, for lack of a better term. And, you know, hold off with a 1-0 loss. So like that, going back home, it's not a huge deficit to come over. It's just a one goal game. So the end result is obviously not what I wanted. I would have been happy with at least a draw. But at least it could be worse. It could have been worse. So for now, my summary of the game is that Napoli had the driver's seat, lost it after that goal. They lost composure. If they want to see a result come next week, they have to understand that a mental game is very big between them and Milan. Right now, Milan's in their heads, five goals against to zero so far in terms of like past couple of games. Osimhen hasn't played all three games that Napoli has played Milan this year. Even the first, the two league games and today's game, Osimhen was not there. So that is the X factor. Now, that's the one thing that we need to see come game two, what that X factor is going to do for that match. So we'll see. Adri, floor is yours. Talk about your summary of today's game.
I want to ask about the lack of Osimhen. I don't know if you want to leave that until after Adri gives his thoughts, or
I guess we can hear about a discussion now. Yeah. We can talk about it now, yeah. Because we spoke about it a bit last week, right, Nick, with Gaetano.
Yeah.
And I know Johnny wasn't on the pod last week, but, you know, I said, and, you know, he kind of backed me up on it, it wasn't just because of a lack of not having Osimhen in the lineup last game that the result was 4-0. I don't think those things, you know, went hand in hand.
Yeah.
Today, Johnny, I don't know. I think it's a bit of a different story, but I still think that the game was going to be a close one, no matter if Osimhen was there or not. I mean, it's obviously you're preparing for a different, attacking trident with Osimhen there. He, listen, guys, he's capo cannoniere right now in the Serie A for a reason. He's performed outstanding all season long. He's a focal point in Napoli's attack. There's no secret about that. He breaks the lines very well. He obviously brings in a lot of attention. He's able to go with Kvaratskhelia, those 1-2s and just finding each other on the pitch, and they work very, very well together. So again, I don't know if it was going to be a different game with him there or not. Obviously, I think it would have been a lot harder for Milan's midfield and defense just to keep him at bay. But listen, they were able to beat them the first league matchup in the Serie A without Osimhen. Napoli was able to get a result. Again, I don't want to compare Serie A and champions, but I still think it would have been a game where it would have still been a 1-0, a 2-1 type of game. Johnny, I don't know if you agree, disagree.
So last game, the 4-0 game, you're completely right. That's a different story of that result, yeah. But this game, Osimhen, the reason why I think he is a big X factor is because every time Napoli had a cross in or a corner, look at the numbers for Maru Rui's assist numbers. It's because you had an aerial threat like Osimhen in the box waiting to get the ball and put it in or, make himself a problem. You lose Osimhen, and now your only aerial threat on a corner is Kim Min-jae. And if there's only one guy to cover, it's easy to kind of neutralize any aerial threat. And especially the way Rui likes to play the ball, and to like, I would say Di Lorenzo a bit more aggressive, but like the way that Kvaratskhelia has nobody to serve the ball to, Rui now his crosses are going into thin air. That's where I'm saying that Osimhen was greatly missed. It's the fact that you have a big bull. I'm not saying he's a bully in a bad way, but like you have a big body and bully and care, and you have guys like Tomori, who's not an easy guy to get around. And, you add Tonali as your defensive mid, you need a big guy to handle those. They're strong. Tonali even showed it today why he's a really good center defensive mid. He's a very strong boy. So like a guy like Osimhen can handle those type of pressures. But not only that, he's got a bigger body because he's tall to handle that, but he's also fast. And you lose an aerial threat in Osimhen, you lose some speed in the middle, and you lose a guy who's able to fight off bodies. So that's where I'm saying Osimhen is a factor that was missed in this game. And hopefully it is the difference maker next game. Now, obviously, like I said, the 4-0 result is not going to change much with Osimhen. Today's result, I think I'm not going to say that Milan is not going to get their goal with Osimhen there or not. That's not the argument here. I'm saying that Napoli might have actually probably scored a goal with Osimhen there. And a 1-1 game is so much better than a 1-0 game.
For sure.
So that's where I make the case that Osimhen not being there is a big factor. That's just my personal opinion on the whole Osimhen matter.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an obvious thing, right, Nick? I don't know. You have any more to add there? But
well, one thing I noticed, honestly, I don't know if Johnny will agree with me here. I think Kvara, he looks like a different player, honestly, without Osimhen. I think maybe it's because he's trying to do too much. Obviously, it helps when you have a player like Osimhen on. It opens up space. Anytime you're going to have two great players, you're going to open up space for each other. Quickly looking at the games that Osimhen missed this season. the games that Kvara did play, he did still get a couple of goals or a couple of assists. I can't add up the totals like that off the top of my head, but you know, still decent, except for the games against Milan, these last two games. He did get an assist in the game back in September. He did get an assist in that game, but other than that, zero goals in these last two games against Milan. And it's a bit concerning, right? Because, you know, then I don't know about you, Gianni, but it kind of raises the question, kind of like, is Kvara the guy to lead the team? At this point, I would say it's even more Osimhen being the guy who's going to lead the team.
Yeah, with the MVP
performance. Like, if I had to choose an MVP for the Serie A, I might even go at Osimhen at this point, just because most valuable player. Look, you take him off, and they struggle two games against Milan. I know, extremely small sample size as well. They won every other game with Osimhen out of the lineup too, so it's not too much of a concern either. But I don't know if you agree with me there, Johnny.
So what I'm saying is that, like, when Osimhen's there, more space opens up for Kvaratskhelia, because now there's one less guy covering Kvaratskhelia, and because he's covering Osimhen, because you have to respect both. When you don't have Osimhen there, yeah, sure, you know, there's still a guy who's playing in the middle, but I think Elmas is less of a threat than Osimhen. No disrespect to Elmas, it's just the reality of the situation. So you don't have that much, like, danger, high danger, like, we have to cover this guy type of feeling. Kvaratskhelia is also only 21 years old. 21, 22? He's young.
22.
22. It's his first season in Serie A. He's got a lot of learning to do. So to say that, yeah, he probably does feel like as if he has to take it upon himself. Maybe he does, because, you know, he's been having such a great season. But the kid also needs to understand that don't put that much pressure on yourself. You know, you can't be a one-man show. And it's not just – I'm sorry, but it shouldn't be just Kvaratskhelia trying to make offense happen or try to score goals. And if you look at it, a lot of the good shots came from the mid. You know, Anguissa got a good shot. Zielinski got a good shot in. You know, it's everyone's capable of contributing offensively. It's just, you know, it shouldn't always follow on KK. Maybe he does feel that pressure. Hopefully he realizes that he shouldn't. And I wouldn't fully be like, oh, it's all Kvaratskhelia's fault, or like, oh, he's useless, or he's like bad in big time games. I don't think he's bad in big time games. He's covered extremely well when he's the only threat. And when he's the only threat, obviously he doesn't show up, because they just do a great job marking him. He's great when in the short in the short range battles, in sense of like beating his man or trying to, you know, generate some open space. But one thing I do wish he kind of grows on and matures is that, you know, don't be shy to, like, instead of going for the beat, give it to the guy behind, or maybe go for the guy that's a little bit wider, you know, like, you don't have to completely take on everything on your own. And if you have the opportunity to go for the shot instead of the beat, maybe sometimes the shot can be good. He's got a decent shot too. It sounds like he's bad. So maybe he just needs to work on that aspect, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's, I guess I'll take my Milan point just after this, but yeah, for Kvaratskhelia, I mean, you have bodies on him when he's now the focal point, because for me, I mean, Elmas, false nine, for me, it didn't work for Napoli. Yes, the pressure was still there, and yes, they had moments in the game, and you can say dominated maybe those at the beginning of both halves. I think that's where they really put on the pressure. And fuck, I mean, what a game it would have been if, you know, Kvaratskhelia does score that one that gets cleared off the line within the first handful of minutes. You know, I think it's a different ball game, and you know, maybe the scoreline says something else after the 90 minutes. So I think for Kvaratskhelia, when you put guys on him, when you get physical with him, I think he's a different Kvara. But again, still a brilliant player. There's nothing to take away from him as a player for this team, and you know, in this season as a whole, I think he's done it all year. And nobody would have ever thought that this would have been from a guy from Georgia. So again, still kudos to him, and obviously he's had a bit of a dud in these last two games, and he really hasn't been himself. But again, for just to speak a bit more on Napoli before we move on to Milan, I mean, yes, there's obviously they have probably the two guys that can say, hey, you know what, these are MVP quality players for Serie A. But I still think for them it's really been the collective too, right? Because it's they've really meshed well as a group, and Spalletti has really been able to, you know, captain the ship in the right direction all season long. So again, yes, they have star players, but for me, it's still when I see Napoli, I still look at the group as a whole rather than just the individuals. It's great to watch these individual talents play: Osimhen, Kvaratskhelia, other players that they have. But when they're all together and the group is solid, I think it's where you see the best Napoli. But again, turning on to the Milan side of things, I mean, just what an atmosphere, right? I think, you know, I know the home, sorry, the away goal rule is no longer there, but, you know, having this home field advantage, it seems in Champions League it's second to none. You know, today the Tifo was top once again for Milan in Champions League. They've been top all campaign long, and we had one of our members, Massimo, at the game today, and seeing videos that he was sending from the San Siro was breathtaking, honestly. So definitely really helped, I think, the squad today in the result. But again, like I said, to open the show, I think it's a game that, you know, shows the 1-0 advantage to Milan going to Naples. But I still don't think it's the most satisfying of results. I mean, who would have thought that Milan would even be in this situation come this point in the season in Champions League? But again, they're here, and I think today on the day, I still think, you know, the better team won, in my opinion. I know maybe Napoli fans might disagree with me, but again, both teams, both sets of fans can complain that, you know, they didn't capitalize on their opportunities. Milan was able to do on one, Napoli didn't. On their chances, even though they had a bit more of the chances in terms of shots on goal and stuff like that. So, again, the better team won, but I don't think it was by a landslide, in my opinion, either. Again, I can be a bit biased because I am a Milan fan, but I think with the atmosphere, the tifo, the team's hunger and passion and fight, you saw it for all 90-plus minutes. The team didn't quit, and again, it's disappointing, and they should be definitely kicking themselves a bit for not scoring more. But again, Raheem stepped up once again. You know, Mr. Inconsistent in two games, and now he's a bit consistent. So for as long as that lasts, you know, we'll take it. And, you know, obviously Bennacer getting the goal was huge right before halftime. But, you know, we had Leao, who once again could have done a bit more in terms of he could have put that ball away. When he broke through, you know, the whole Napoli defense there and just needed to beat Meret. He didn't. Obviously, the crossbar by Kier off the corner, it's these are moments in the game that, you know, goes a different way, and, you know, it's a different outcome. It's a different feeling going to Napoli next week. So happy overall, obviously. This is now five clean sheets in Europe and in Champions League for Milan. And again, you have to bow down and you know, tip your hat off to Mike Maignan. I mean, this guy, he's top. He's a top keeper, and once again makes those timely saves when you need that, because, you know, your defense could be what it is and your goalie can be a good goalie, but it's when he comes up with those timely saves is when these types of goalies make their money, right? So he's been doing that all year, even for France as well. So It's always a security blanket in the back with Maignan. Again, you can't only depend on that. You need to score goals to win games. But on the day today, Milan was able to do it. Again, happy but not completely satisfied in terms of like I said earlier, just not being able to capitalize a bit more. And again, I don't want to kind of comment on it because it brings up a bag of worms, but. Again, the officiating, I don't want to say that was the game. I do think this referee, I didn't even catch his name, very, very trigger happy with the cards. I will say that. I mean, it was no secret in that. I don't like when they don't let them play. Today, he picked and chose when he wanted them to play, when he didn't, and really coming out with the cards, you know, left, right, and center. Does it change the game? Again, I don't want to put that on the whole thing. It definitely doesn't help. You know, when you're you know, throwing yellows left, right, and center. But again, the double yellow on Anguissa, yeah, for me, it was. And again, you know, the non-penalty call that, you know, Milan fans were screaming about on Salamakers at the end there. Again, 50-50 thing. The ref called and didn't call things all game long. So I don't really want to comment. I don't really want to make that the focal point of the game, because this was a really big matchup and a close game on both ends, and could have went either way. But there was definitely moments where you know, you're kind of scratching your head at different calls and stuff like that. But again, it's not going to be easy. You know, the Maradona, I think, is gonna be, you know, really, really, you know, fired up, I think, for this matchup. It's two games that Milan gets, you know, has the number back in back-to-back games against them. And again, it's going to be hard to beat, I think, Napoli three times in about just over two and a half, just over 2 weeks. So I'm hopeful, obviously, because like Gianni said, for his side, you know, it's not impossible. And again, I still think the job can get done for Milan as well.
Well, I mean, one thing I do want to add, though, just quickly before we move on, about the reffing, the Anguissa situation, I find that's like a very, 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 like the second one was a soft yellow. It's not even a high boot. It's at his waist. He touches the ball first. That one, I'm like the first one, sure. Like, you know, like he came in and just basically bodied the guy. He wasn't trying to go shoulder to shoulder. He was trying to disrupt the run. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of the second one, but you know, there's no point in crying about officiating, because yeah, it was kind of atrocious both ways. But I think the only one call that I was like, okay, ref, what the fuck? Like the rest was like, okay, fine. Like, I didn't argue, I didn't fight, I'm not trying to say anything. And then the one I was like, okay, ref, what the absolute hell, was literally the second Anguissa yellow. That's the one where I'm like, yeah, no, like, you don't know what you're doing, buddy. But whatever. Yeah, he was trigger happy with the cards. I saw a really interesting comment by Calabria after the game in his interview, where apparently VAR wasn't working. That's what he says.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
I wonder how true that is.
I saw that too.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an actual quote or not. I saw it. Guys, listeners, like, I'm not saying this is facts. I'm not saying this is the absolute God truth. But yeah, according to a comment, a post on Twitter, so obviously, how can we say how realistic this is or not? According to Calabria, VAR wasn't working. And when he went to go ask the fourth official about information, the fourth official kind of told the main ref to give him a yellow. And he's like, he's the captain. He's supposed to discuss, you know, like, how is he supposed to, you know, find out information if the captain gets a yellow just for asking questions, you know? And he's got a point there. You know, like,
and he gave it to him after the game too.
He actually got a card. Calabria?
He got a card after the game, after the final whistle happened. They were talking, and he gives him the card. I never understood that, to be honest with you. But, and like, Johnny, I don't want to cut you off, but that happened also on the other end. You know, Di Lorenzo goes to talk to the referee, Red Hat, you know, in a full of emotion and passionate in his case, and that's when, you know, obviously Anguissa's first one. But him too, he's the captain. He gets shown the yellow card. In both cases, I don't understand that. It's like, you don't want a bum rush of players coming to the ref and making a scene and pleading the case, but your captain can't even do the same on both sides, and they get shown the yellow. I find that was, for me, you know, a bit. You know, foolish in my opinion, but
I can't stand refs like that, because one of the captain's jobs at the end of the day is to be the communication with the referee, and any sport you play,
exactly.
You know, where there's a captain assigned, you know, the refs will always say, you know, no one could talk except for the referee. So as long as you're respectful and the captain talks to the referee in a respectful manner, well, there's no problem with that. But if both Di Lorenzo and Calabria are getting cards for speaking to the referee, that's just screwed up. You know what I wish UEFA would have done, even though they wouldn't do this, is just to sign an Italian referee, honestly. But I understand they don't, you know, they aren't going to assign an Italian referee for games involving Italian teams. It's protocol, but whatever. It would have been easier just to work with the FIGC, appoint a referee. I don't know if there's any Italian referees left that made it to the next round. Probably Orsato, but I don't know. I'd have to check if he did any Champions League games. But it would have been, just been easier to just get an Italian referee or a really experienced one. Because this one, I mean, I've never heard of him. I mean, I'm not an expert on European referees, but I recognize the good ones. You see these guys in the Champions League. You see them in Euros. You see them in World Cup. You, even though I might not be able to name them by heart, you see their face. If you see their name on the game sheet, you know who they are. This guy, I never heard of him. I don't even know his name. But it was definitely an interesting choice. We'll see if Inter do advance. Maybe this is a good transition to the next one. Next topic. If Inter do advance, we'll get an all-Italian in semifinal. So at that point, you really need an experienced referee. Regardless, whoever's refereeing Champions League semifinals, it means they themselves reach the semifinals of their careers and of them Champions League. It's a big appointment. And, you know, if Inter advance versus an Italian team, it's gonna be crazy. We could have Inter Napoli or obviously the Derby. But Inter did beat Benfica 2-0. Goals from Lukaku, and Barella. There you go. I'm drawing a blank. I watched the game, and it was yesterday. That's how bad the memory has gotten with these stuff. But one thing I'll say with that, honestly, Benfica looked good, and I was a bit surprised that Inter was able to pull off the win, because Benfica looked good, but Inter, I think, just capitalized on their chances. Obviously, it helped to get that penalty. Obviously, you know, kind of like the goal today, counter-attacking goal, against the run of play after Benfica had a few chances. Onana, he's a really good goaltender. Both Onana and Maignan really kept their team in the game, in these two games. It's funny, we saw on Twitter, obviously, Coppa Italia, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, I already forgot what it was, Inter Juve, when Handanovic got the red at the end, and there's memes coming out like, oh no, this is actually going to help Inter in the second leg against Juve, because Onana's going to play. Maybe the punishment should be for Handanovic to play, but honestly, Onana looked good. He made some good saves. I don't think Benfica is going to come back from this one. It's tough, but you never know in the Champions League, right? Anything could happen, especially with Inter. I mean, they just tied, was it Salernitana on the weekend, on Friday? They just tied Salernitana. They've been real shaky. Not a good spell of games, and they come out and win this, which, again, I didn't expect, but yeah, that's what the Champions League is all about.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, sorry, Joe, I'll let you go.
Well, just my only question, because I didn't check. Did Inter play at home or did Benfica play at home?
No, it was in Portugal.
They were away.
It was in Benfica.
Well, they were away. Oh, that's big.
Exactly.
That's big for Inter.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. What I think, if I may take the lead for this, Inter is in the driver's seat. You know, like obviously, you know, Benfica's down by two, so they're going to come out hard in the second leg. But, you know, when you're playing at the San Siro and you have that two-goal advantage and you play and you have Inzaghi, who's pretty good with defensive systems, you don't have any pressure, in my personal opinion. So you can obviously – they're the ones that are going to be forcing to make errors and, like, trying to be aggressive and stuff. So I think Inter's got a pretty good lock. Obviously, it's Benfica. You can't count them out. But I think Inter's got a pretty good lock in this game.
Yeah. No, I agree. Listen, it's never easy to play on the road, especially in Champions. And, you know, going to Portugal, it's not an easy place to go and play. So
at all,
I mean, kudos to Inter. No, it's not. And you know, they had, I think, I don't know how many spectators they had, but it looked pretty packed for what I think I remember seeing. You know, don't quote me on that, but you know, Inter took their chances and they were able to capitalize. I mean, for me, the first goal was really you know, something to really watch, and it was a great thing. And again, I know it's hard for me to say that as a Milanista, but you know, you gotta give credit when credit's due. And you know, Bastoni put in that ball with that left foot, you know, that left hand side, with if he's that left center back, or if it's, you know, obviously Di Marco playing that left wing back position, you know, their left pegs there are second to none. And what a ball that he put in for Barella. And out of all guys, Barella gets ahead on it and beats the goalie there and gets Inter on the board first. And I think they didn't really look back. I think, you know, Benfica got some chances. I was watching a bit of the game there. And, you know, leave it to João Mário to help his former team, I guess, in Inter to let them get that penalty there. But, again, a big Rom. Ice cold from the spot. I think it's 19 out of 19. He's been able to convert from the penalty spot, you know, for Inter. So if I'm not mistaken, again, don't quote me on that, but he's been ice cold from the spot. And, you know, even when the goalie goes the right way, he's able to find a way to slot it past him. And, you know, kudos to him. He's had a bit of a whirlwind of a week himself, you know, in the league and now in Champions. So, you know, when he's on the board and when Inter's firing on all cylinders, you know, they're obviously a tough team. But it just goes to show, you know, how much different, you know, the motivation is in Serie A playing Salernitana, and then, you know, quarterfinals in Champions League. We saw a different Inter. We saw Pazza Inter that we've been used to seeing in the past. So, and again, I'm not a big fan of Inzaghi. I know, you know, people like him, people don't. I don't know if he just doesn't cut it for me, but again, kudos to him too. He's has a pretty good percentage in knockout situations like this. So I think it was over 75%, if I'm not mistaken. So again, he got it right on Tuesday, and you know, it took a big call from him. You know, we always know Inzaghi as getting in those subs at times where you don't think is necessary. He pulled that triple change there and took out Dzeko. I think it was Di Marco, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it was it Barella? No, Martinez, I'm sorry. Dzeko, Martinez, and Di Marco. He brought on Lukaku, Correa, and Gosens. It ended up paying off in the end, even though I think those players were having a decent game up until that point. So, you know, kudos to Inter. They got the job done. And again, I think they would have wished maybe that the away goal rule would have been in play for this campaign with this 2-0 result. But again, hey, still, you put yourself in that cushion. You get two goals on the road. You're going back to San Siro. And like I said, for today's matchup for Milan, I mean, San Siro is such a beautiful place, especially on Champions League nights. And I think the Champions League and European pedigree by both the Milanese clubs are, I think, gives them a bit of extra juice in these types of matchups. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be a tough hill to climb for Benfica, I think, in Milano next week.
Other Champions League games, the other two quarterfinals on the other side, Man City beat Bayern 3-0. Rodri, Bernardo Silva, and Haaland with the goals. And then today, Real Madrid, they just continue their dominance in Champions League. I think they're the modern Champions League DNA, as Milan was, you know, 20 years ago. Obviously, well, historically, obviously.
Well, Madrid has the most Champions League.
But
so,
yeah, I was about to say.
More what we're seeing now, is Milan, you know, making the final 1,000, 3,000, 5,000, 7. They won all the ones in the 90s, all those trophies in the 90s. That's more what I meant. I know historically Real Madrid is Champions League DNA, and it just continues to show. 2-0 today, goals from Benzema and Asensio. If those two results currently stand, it would be Man City, Real Madrid in the final. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that. I mean, honestly, Real, like I just said, they have such this killer instinct in the Champions League in these past few years. Obviously, Ancelotti with all the titles that he's won. I would predict them in the final. I say right now, I would even go as far as saying it's a Real Madrid Milan final. I know Adrian might shut me up there, but I think if that'd be a pretty historic final. Maybe at the end of it, Ancelotti could celebrate with whoever wins. But
well, he said it. He told Maldini, he's like, I guess because you know the finals in Istanbul this year, and we all know what happened in Istanbul. Yeah. many years ago. So. Mm-hmm. 2005, we don't speak about it, you know, very, very, very highly these days. So, you know, he told Maldini that, you know, we'll see each other in the final. And he had another quote saying, I think it was the La Teleota that asked him, are you more Milanista or Madridista? And he said, I'm both, you know, 50-50. And, you know,
oh,
what,
wow,
that
would be like me for real.
So you have, yeah, you, exactly. You and Ancelotti have a few things in common. You go 50-50 on teams. You know, he's married to a Canadian. You're Canadian, so you got the Canadian connection. So
he's married to me. He's just like me for real.
So Johnny's basically Ancelotti. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Excuse me. Let me just practice my eyebrow.
too bad Ancelotti has nicer hair.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
but no, again, that would be a historical final. Again, it's too far to tell. I think for me, it's a lot of cultural still to be played, and that's my political answer coming out there. But you know, just on the matchups, I think. I'm surprised, man. I would have liked a bit of a different Bayern to come out. I mean, City. I don't know. I mean, okay, yeah, Haaland. He's on top of the world. He's a phenomenon right now. But I don't know, man. I would have liked to see Bayern give a bit more in a matchup. It didn't happen. City, you know, took what they had in front of them and can potentially get past them. And for Real, like Nick said, guys. I mean, the DNA is there. The history is there. And you can count Real Madrid out for however many times, and you know they'll still find a way. Or if they don't get the result, they'll still find a way to make it a game that you said, "Hey, fuck, you know this could have been a chance that we could have pulled one past Real, and maybe we did, and maybe we didn't." But you know, Real's always there. So for me, Benzema is still. I mean, this guy is phenomenal. If I've ever seen one, He's a killer, man, in front of goal, a true number nine. And again, he continues to do it. You know, at club level, he's just top. I mean, there's not much more to say about Benzema. And, yeah, I don't know if they get past Chelsea, which it again 2-0 is not anything near impossible to come back from. But again, it could look like it might be wrapped up there. And I think Real Madrid has an eye for the final and can, again, potentially add to those, what is it now, 13, 14? How many are they at now? 15? I don't even remember. I lost track of how many they're at in terms of Champions League.
14?
I want to say 14.
No, 15.
14, right? Yeah. So, again, they're double the second place team, which is Milan with 7. So, it just shows how much dominance they've had in their history in this competition. So, again, it would be a historical final if it does happen, and hopefully if that were ever to happen, anyone can get the better results in Istanbul. But yeah, I don't know. For me, when Carletto's there, it's you pull for him a bit more. And you know, he's just he's a winner, right? He's done it as a player, as a manager. He's won on so many levels, and especially in this competition, he has his name all over that trophy, you know, many, many times over. So should be interesting, but again, I still think it's a long way till the final. A lot of good culture still left to be played, in my opinion.
I can't really add much more to that. Like when you have, you know, Real winning 2-0 versus Chelsea, and you have City beating Bayern 3-0, you kind of already have an idea of what the semifinals matchup is going to be like. I don't think either team are capable of coming back, especially that, you know, who was it that got the red in the Chelsea game today?
Chilwell.
He didn't show so well.
Yeah. Nope. And then Koulibaly got subbed off on the 55th minute. Like, I found that a bit weird.
He got subbed off. I didn't see that.
He got subbed off in the 55th. So, I found that a bit interesting. So, I don't know. I feel like as if right now Chelsea is just a weaker team
there's all kinds in the transfer market. It hasn't really paid off so well. They've changed their manager too, right? If I'm not mistaken,
twice.
I think twice. Is it? Yeah. So I don't know. Like, maybe those are factors, Johnny. I don't know.
It could be. I think it is a big factor. I think it would be foolish to say that it's not a factor at all. But still, with those purchases, it does make a difference. Like, you should be reinforced, you should be good, but the obviously manager changes the whole mentality of the team. So I don't think they have that fortitude to actually like come back from this 2-goal deficit. I think Ancelotti's in full control. Real is a team that I'm not saying they're going to cruise to the semifinals, but you could pretty much say it's a done deal. So yeah, that's basically how I'm going to see it. And I think personally City reaches the final. I think honestly the way Haaland's been playing, like he's playing levels like beyond anybody else in Europe right now. I think honestly like he's going to just be that guy for them. So my personal opinion, I think City makes the final, and then it's going to I don't want to comment on which team's getting coming from our side, because I still have hope for
City,
Napoli. So,
City, oh God,
it's gonna be a very blue game.
It'll be like City Chelsea a few years ago.
There you go. No, I don't know. It's all to play for, in my opinion. I don't know. There's a lot to play still, but again, it's Champions League. Like we've said it on timeless times on this podcast, you know, Champions League just a different beast on its own there. And again, there's so much to be had still. So we'll see.
So yeah, match day 29, the big game of the week was Juve Lazio 2-1 Lazio. Obviously, Juve not a good performance, first loss in I don't know how many games in Serie A. I have to look that up, but better team won. Simple as that. I think, Lazio, they played. You know what this game reminded me of? Adrian, reminded me a bit of when we went to the game. Juve Lazio Lazio Juve in 2019. Like, even just the way Lazio was playing, the atmosphere, the crowd, this and that. Like, they're quietly in second place right now, 58 points.
Yeah,
Lazio, Milan, and Inter have just been dropping points, and they've been picking up their points. And you know, even against teams like Juve, a home win. I think it was actually their first win against Juve since then, since that game in 2019, which is funny. Zaccagni, what a player! Honestly, he's the more you watch him, the more you appreciate, because he does a lot. He's all over the pitch. He's a versatile forward. He's having a fantastic season right now. He's a player that I would definitely love on Juve. The only thing is, I don't think Juve should go out and get him now because he's 27. This is his prime right now. This is his prime. This is the best he's going to be. You know, players at 27, 28, 29, that's the ideal age. You know, after that, they start to regress a bit. So we'll see if Zaccagnini can continue this next year. I don't know why he didn't get called up to the national team. We did talk about that during the last international break. Maybe there's some sort of issues with Mancini or something, but he's definitely a player that should get called up. He's like I said, he's versatile. He could definitely play on the wing in that 4-3-3 formation, and he tracks back defensively well. So, yeah, I think Lazio did a great deal of business getting him from Hellas Verona. Obviously, you know, when you get players from some smaller or mid-table teams to get up to these teams who play in Europe, there's always a risk that the talent doesn't transfer and whatnot. And obviously, it's working out for Lazio. Obviously, they didn't get him when he was super young either. They got him, it's his second season with Lazio. So they got him almost in his prime. And they're reaping the benefits, and it's exciting to watch, honestly. But even a player like Luis Alberto, fantastic game. Obviously, Milinkovic-Savic, fantastic game. Just everything that Juve's wanted in these past few years with this dominating midfield. Lazio just had the better midfield just between SMS and Luis Alberto, who had a fantastic assist on Zaccagnini's goal. Like I said, better team won. Simple as that. That was it for Lazio Juve. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that.
No, I mean, for Zaccagnini, I think he's a man on form, and I think he's, if I'm not mistaken, he's the Italian with the most goals, is it, if I'm not mistaken, or goals and assists. I don't remember what the stat was, but he's been in fine form, and again, it's rightfully so to give him his praises, because he's been continuously showing it. And again, it took him some time, you know, to get rolling at this rate for Lazio, but again, you know, it's patience, you know, is a virtue, and you know, for Zaccagnini, it's really paying off right now. And I think, you know, if they stay into the Champions League spots, and again, I don't know how it's going to pan out for these last, you know, 9-10 games here, but you know, if they manage to squeak into Champions League or to hold on to this second place like they're at right now, you know, do they are they still a selling team? Are they a buying team? Again, we all know about, you know, Lazio's history with buying and selling players, and it's going to be interesting to see. But again, for right now, it's kind of like, for a guy like Zaccagnini, I mean, do you hold on to a guy like this? Because for me, I don't know how much more his value is going to go higher, right? So you bank off of him right after this season, or maybe even wait till next season. You know, it's a question to be asked, but. Again, Lazio has I think turned heads as of late, and you know, Sarri has quietly had not much more pressure than just focusing on Serie A, and I think that's been a key for Lazio at the current moment. Their depth is not, again, still not the greatest, like we've always said for them, but just the acquisitions, like we've mentioned on this show, you know, time and time again. I mean, their defense has improved, their goalkeeping has been consistent, has had some ups and downs, but has still been relatively consistent compared to, you know, times in the past. And when you're able to score from different facets without having your number one guy there in Immobile, it's an added bonus. So you know, for Lazio, it's what, 9-10 more finals until the end here, and again, we'll see where they finish at the end of it.
I honestly though, like, if you're gonna like think that Lazio's gonna sell Zaccagnini, like they didn't do it when they had the chance to do it for for Milinkovic-Savic. So what makes you think that they're gonna capitalize on Zaccagnini? I'm not saying that like they should move him. Obviously, if you want to get value, you should probably try to move him, but I don't think they're in a position that they have to pull a trigger on that. You know, and I don't think Sadi himself would want that to happen either. So I don't think he moves. I think he stays.
I would hope so. I would hope so because it works, right? He works in the system. You know, he's providing assists. He's scoring goals. You know, Lazio quietly, guys. I mean, yes, they're quietly in this position where not many people would have maybe predicted, but fuck, they beat all the big teams around them, right? You know, they've beat the Milans, they beat the Juves, the Napolis, the Inters, the Atalantas, the Roma. So, you know, they've quietly or not, I mean, they've on the other side of that sword, you know, they've still kind of, you know, earned their way to get to this position. I mean, I know a lot of rival fans will definitely think otherwise, but again, when you got to give credit, like I've been saying, you know, you got to give it when it's due. So, you know, credit to them and credit for Tussari because, you know, again, it's slowly but surely a long process. For me, they're still nowhere near a finished product. And if pieces get moved or don't, and whatever the Mercato brings come the summer, you know, remains to be seen. Is this finally the summer that SMS leaves? Is this finally the summer that, you know, Luis Alberto leaves? Again, guys, these are questions that we don't know at the moment, but it's definitely remains to be seen. But if they can continue to keep this core and build, and Sarri brings in the players that he wants and needs for his system going forward, Lazio guys can be a team that is not a team that should be looked upon and maybe taken a bit more seriously. But again, only time I think will tell for Lazio's sake.
It's funny. I just looked up because I wanted to know who was older, Zaccagni or Milinkovic Savic, and they're actually only a couple months apart. But I Googled
27, right?
Milinkovic Savic just turned 28. Zaccagni is going to be 28 in June. Nice. I Googled Milinkovic Savic, and you know, Google, there's a section people also ask. And I feel like these search results are kind of funny because it said one of them, how good is Milinkovic Savic? I mean, I guess you could Google that, you know, just, just watch the games instead. What happened to Milinkovic Savic? I mean, what happened to him? He's still around. And my favorite one here is, are Milinkovic Savic brothers? Question mark.
Yes. Yes. He is. Sergey and Vanya are brothers, guys.
No, it doesn't say Sergey and Vanya. It just says are Milinkovic Savic brothers.
Oh, okay.
Milinkovic and Savic, yes, they're brothers. but yeah, it's funny. Both Milan and Inter tied last weekend before winning in the Champions League. So obviously, the key to winning in Europe is dropping points in the Serie A before. So obviously, Juve did a good job before their game against Sporting tomorrow. I don't know if you guys wanted to say anything about those draws of Inter 1-1 Salernitana and Milan 0-0 with Empoli, but also Gianni, Roma did beat Torino 1-0 with a penalty from Dybala. I don't know if you had anything to say about that game.
I mean, I'm tired of just being Dybala, of just being the center of offense, you know, but I don't really have much to say about that game. I'm happy with the 1-0 result, especially that you're a team that's fighting for a top four spot. I think they could, honestly, especially with, like, news that coming from the whole, like, book case of Juve. I'm not talking about the Plus Valenza case. I'm talking about specifically lying about salaries. That the rumor is that apparently the punishment was going to be a severe points penalty. That, yeah, even if they get those 15 points back, there's going to be another penalty of points coming in for Juve. So I think take advantage of that. Keep on trying to fight that top four spot. Mourinho, his goal at the end of the year at the end of his 3 years was to get to Roma being a top four team form again. You know, you want a Conference League in his first year. He's pushing for Europa. And he's fighting to try to see to get into Champions League next year. I think it's possible. So, you know, past five games, 3 wins, 2 losses. Try to fight consistency at this point. Take it. I'll take it. I just want them to fight consistency.
Yeah. No. Again, for Roma's case, I think, you know, every these points that they're stacking up, I think, are very, very important at this the business end of the season right now. So. Again, third place, 53 points, a point above Milan, five behind Lazio. It's a place I guess you want to be and don't want to be at the same time because there's so many teams, you know, around you that are fighting for the same common goal. But again, if it's Dybala or whoever it is, it's I think the points need to come for Roma for if they want to get where they like what Johnny's saying, where they want to be and where Mourinho wants his team to get to. And it's possible, but again, it's as many times as we're saying, it's possible for this team, it's possible for that team, it's possible for this team. It's like who gets left out at the end, right? There's only four spots. So it's going to be a real tough one to think and to predict, but it's going to be a fight to the finish again. I think this season, like we've said for the past, I think, two seasons, if not three. But yeah, again, I think the one thing that was a bit funny to see was, or again, depends how you want to look at it, is the banners in the crowd directed towards Belotti from the Torino fans. I don't know if they've accepted the fact that he's moved on to Roma and doesn't get minutes, that they were kind of ripping into him a bit there. But again, it's all friendly banter. Again, I guess the better team won on the day, and Dybala's Dybala, right? He's been a gem since he's gotten to Roma, and I think he's here to stay. I think, obviously next season. I know there was rumors and things on online saying, is he going to stay next season? Will they continue on with him? Because I don't recall all the contract talks and the exact figures and the exact timeline of his contract. But I think he's obviously a very, very important part for this Roma team. And when they're on. So, kudos to them. But going back to those draws, it's unacceptable, I think, forget Inter. They can draw as many times or lose as many times as they want in the Serie A. But for Milan's sake, it's unacceptable, right? You're on such a high. You go and smash the current leaders in Serie A in their home. You go and play a team like Empoli. And it always happens like this for Milan. I mean, it's especially this season. Last season was a bit of a different story. They were able to pick up these games. Again, I don't know how the motivation is still not at a high and you want to get results. I don't understand. You go play a couple of 0-0 snooze. I couldn't watch the game. Again, we lost power here in Montreal for a handful of days, so I didn't catch the game. But just, again, I didn't really miss much because, snooze fest of a game, 0-0. And just, again, not what you want, but... If it takes to beat Napoli in two legs in Champions Leagues for to have to suffer for results like this in the league and still get into Champions League next season, qualifying top four, I guess we'll take that. But it's just not where you want to be as a club, fighting for top four and having to pick up points against middle of the table, bottom of the table teams where, it's not like back in the day where it's, these teams are afraid of you anymore. It seems like they're really able to walk all over these bigger teams, these bigger clubs at the moment. So it's unfortunate. And, for the other end on Inter, I didn't watch the game either, but after seeing, highlights and the different stuff online, I mean, again, it took an ex-Inter player to ruin the party there. And Candreva's cross shot, goal, I don't even know what it was, but it somehow beat Onana there. And just again, big point for Salernitana, but another missed opportunity for Inter in the league. So again, for them it was a spicciagata, the same thing. Both Milan clubs draw stupid games in Serie A, they go on into Champions and take an advantage going into the second leg. So again, just make it make sense, I think, is the word to sum up those two games.
Other results from around the Serie A in Match Day 29, Easter weekend it was. Verona mm-hmm. beats Sassuolo 2-1. Fiorentina Spezia tied 1-1. Udinese Monza tied 2-2. Cremonese beat Sampdoria 3-2. A 95th minute goal from Leonardo Cernicola in that one. And another Georgian scored in that one. Luca Lokoshvili, he scored for Cremonese in that one. Guys, I didn't know there was another Georgian in the Serie A, but if you look him up, he kind of looks like Kvara if Kvara drank protein shakes all day. So 3-2 for Cremonese in that one. But Bologna beat Atalanta 2-0. Yeah. 2-0 from goals from Sansone and Orsolini. This is a team that's eighth right now in the Serie A. 1 point behind Juve, 5 points out of European spot. Thiago Motta is doing a fantastic job there, guys. Is he the next big thing as a coach?
I don't know. I want to see how, like, yeah, like he had already, like, you know, like he had a stint in City. Like, I want to see him, like, kind of manage a bigger team before we say if he's actually the next big thing or not.
No, I agree.
Yeah, again,
pump the brakes.
Same. It's very early. Listen, is it beautiful to watch? Is this Bologna something special in this current form that they're in? Yes, 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 and yes. But again, very, very small sample size for me. It's still too early for Thiago Motta. I know, obviously, the Genoa experiment didn't obviously pan out the way he probably would have wanted. But again, hey, he made that jump from a Genoa to a Bologna, and you know he's quietly making a name. You know, getting Manager of the Month awards, turning some heads, and getting guys like our friend Nick Diani on the bandwagon and loving every Bologna moment that there possibly is on the face of the earth. So. Again, we love to see it for him, but again, still a bit early for me. And but again, take nothing away. I mean, they've earned where they're at right now, and they've earned the points and they've earned the results. And guys like Orsolini are kind of, you know, rewinding the tapes a bit for him too. You know, he had quite a bit of hype when he first kind of came onto the scene, and you know, back in his Ascoli days too. And if I don't remember, was he a Juve product too? I don't remember exactly, but
they bought him at some point.
Was he not?
And then I think they sold
him. Bought him, but then they sold him. Yeah. So whatever the whole story was.
Throwback to when I wanted him at Juve over Chiesa.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the case now. Maybe a healthy Orsolini is better than an injured Chiesa. But that's another conversation.
Yeah, but that's just straight logic at that point.
Yeah. You and Johnny are better than an injured any player, right? So, but joking aside, I mean, for Bologna on this game, I mean, this is right now a direct opponent that they're trying to, you know, overtake, trying to, you know, climb the ladder and reach and get to, and seeing that Atalanta is currently in sixth place. So, again, kudos to all that in at Bologna. Obviously, with the Canadian ties, you know, it's obviously kind of hits a bit of home for us too. But besides that, I mean, they've earned it. I mean, guys like Orsolini, Musa Bardo, that we've spoken a lot about in the past too. You know, Sansone too, another guy that kind of had a bit of a name and kind of fizzled, and now he's kind of a bit of back and whatnot. And this is a team that even lost some pieces, huh? Right, you know, in the off season, losing a guy like was it Viti and Teat? No, Viti was not the moment. I think he was Atalanta. But whatever. The point is that they've earned it. They've gotten to this point, and again, you know, just, word of the podcast for me. Give credit where credit's due, and this is another one of those moments for Bologna. But again, will they make it to Europe, guys? Just managing expectations, I think, is what should really be said.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you guys, Euro 2032, Italy officially submitted their bid today, apparently, for bidding Euro 2032. Seems like a long time from now. I don't have the list of the 10... potential cities in front of me, but it's the pretty obvious one.
That would potentially host.
Yeah, teams? Yeah.
Like in Italy, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it? Milan, Roma, Napoli,
Bari,
Bologna. Verona, or Bologna? Was
here,
it?
Here, Roma? I have it. Milan, Torino, Verona, Genoa, Bologna, Florence, Rome, Napoli, Bari, and Cagliari. I think the surprise name out of this one is Bari, but they also have a stadium of 58,000. It would need to get renovated.
Is it not new or is it still the old stadium?
No, I think it's in Bari. I don't think
the Laurentiis would renovate a stadium when it's not his primary team. You know what I mean?
I mean, they did a good job with the Laurentiis.
You're going to be waiting a long time.
Yeah, they did a good job with the Maradona. Honestly, it's a decent enough stadium now. But yeah, no, I mean, Most of these cities, not surprising. Obviously, you know, it's the cities that got the.
And I think Palermo's is an alternate in case of something that can.
Yeah, it's an alternate. It's an alternate.
Yeah.
But
I mean, don't. Yeah, sorry. Go.
No, go ahead, Johnny. Go.
No, because like my one issue with this bid is that
your issue is
because I don't want to sound stupid before I say it. I'm just like double checking in my head before I say it. Like you want to host, but with the stadium quality, it needs to be fixed. But if you're also having issues with getting the city and around Italy to, you know, push these renovations, it could be a good thing and a bad thing. It could be a good thing in a sense that maybe it will force the city's hands to actually renovate their stadiums, or be a bad thing where the city's gonna be like, nope, do what you have, and then like it's not gonna be like a great showing. You know,
I understand. Well, yeah, I agree. But I think the FIGC wants to use this opportunity to bid to force the cities to pay for upgraded stadiums.
They've said it.
Which I'm not a huge fan of using public money to pay for sporting stadiums. Like all these stadiums, they're not owned by teams, but teams play in them. Why can't these teams just own their own stadiums and pay for their own renovations? But whatever. And on top of that, I don't think the FIGC should only use this bid as an excuse to upgrade the stadiums. They have a top five European league that competes every single season. Why can't they use that as an excuse to upgrade the stadiums? Even if Italy doesn't win the bid, I still want these stadiums updated. So if they're saying they're going to update them and they don't win the bid, you know what? Still update them just for the sake of the city, just for the sake of these teams potentially playing in Europe and all that, and for the sake of potentially hosting a tournament in the future. But we'll see. They're going to be up against Turkey. Turkey is also submitting a bid for Euro 2028. In that one, they're up against UK. I wouldn't be surprised if Turkey gets one of them, if they're submitting two bids. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Turkey gets one of them. Euro 2028 in the UK. I mean, England more or less just hosted Euro 2020. They hosted the semifinals and finals, even though it was unofficially, you know, not there. But whatever. Well, we'll see. It's only in October. I'm not going to bet my life savings on Italy getting the tournament. It'd be nice, but there's a lot of reasons not to give it to them, with the stadium being an issue and racism and others. So a lot of problems in Italy, and Euro 2032 is not going to fix that.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
but listen,
as a racist specifically,
this is a point that's. Oh yeah, no, guys, these are just points that we've, not only us, but just in general, that has been needed to have been fixed many, many moons ago in Italy, in the Serie A, in terms of, listen, I leave all the away, like, not that it's not important. You know, the stupidities is and idiot people and just disgusting acts is one thing on its own, but in terms of stadiums and pitches and facilities and just, you know, teams owning the stadiums, renovations, new stadiums, the city of, like, these are, you know, Italy's is miles behind in all those aspects, which is a shame. And again, I agree with what you're saying, Nick, in terms of it can't be that this needs to be what fuels something like this. But again, honestly,
if it fuels it, why not, though, you know?
No, and I agree with that too. But at this point in time, I think it's gonna have to take a tournament, a bid to host a major European tournament for something to finally potentially change. Because if you just give it the run of time, as we've been giving it for centuries on end, we haven't really seen much of a result in terms of progression in that aspect. So, do I like that? This might be the way of getting things rolling for the country and these teams and these stadiums and these in our league that we love. No, but at the same time, I don't think we have shown that we're making any more progression than we have. Every year in the papers, we see the same recycled story of renovation, city approval, the mayor, this, that, the other thing, and we've seen not even a whole dug. Not even, not, they showed us the shovel, but the dirt hasn't moved. Nothing has changed. So again, it's a bit of, you know, heat nor here nor there. But again, for me, it still would be exciting. Hopefully, you know, it does get the bid and hopefully things do get the ball rolling. But I don't know. I still think these are things that should have been, not maybe all of it, but should have been progressing as time has gone on since, I don't even know, since the 2000s. Like, I don't know. Like, we've been, this has been a problem for many, many years, but within this last 20-odd years, this should have been a thing that should have been, you know, kind of progressing as time's gone on. But again, leave it to the Italians to leave it to last minute and to not really put in the effort to get things officially done and continuously be behind the eight ball in these types of things. But yeah, I don't know. It's exciting, but at the same time, it's a bit of a scary undertaking to happen, because I would love to actually witness and see what actually takes place, you know, in these stadiums and the renovations and maybe the rebuilds and you know, stuff of that nature. So again, only time will tell, but I'd very, very be intrigued to see what transpires.
It's very interesting that only three of the stadiums that hosted Italy 1990, the 1990 World Cup, 33 years ago, have been updated. Four, if you want to count the Maradona, went through the renovations, but and those stadiums were the Dacia Arena in Udine. Sorry?
Yeah. I say what the seats change, like, guys, yeah, like, come on.
Yeah.
No, but they've done yeah, well, but that's not yeah, where we need to be, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Three of the 12 stadiums that hosted Italy 1990.
Embarrassing.
Updated since then. But I think that'll do it for us. Anything else you want to mention, Idri? Social media, where to find this?
Yeah, guys, listen, first off, thank you for sticking with us. We hope everybody, we didn't mention this at the beginning of the show, hopefully everybody had a great Easter weekend with your loved ones, your friends, your family, whoever does celebrate, for that matter. Guys, just thank you for sticking with us. Like we said, week in, week out, we try to put out Serie A and cultural content. Where you can find us, like we say every week, at The Cultural Guys on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, of course. Give us a follow and on all those platforms. For the audio version of the podcast, guys, on all your favorite podcasting platforms, continue to share, subscribe, like, comment, hit us up in the DMs, whatever it may be, guys. We appreciate the love and support. You know, the shout outs, everything that we've gotten up until this point. I know we sound like a broken record saying it every week, but we do mean it, and it really, really doesn't go unnoticed. So thank you for sticking with us, and we'll be back next week to talk a lot more culture.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao.
Bye.
The Cultural Guys is a weekly podcast by Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Della Colli, and myself, Nicholas DiGiovanni. We want to bring cultural back to its roots in our communities and share stories from around the world about why we're passionate about the beautiful game. You can listen to us anywhere where you listen to your podcasts, including Spreaker, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Mixcloud. Give us your opinion on social media at The Cultural Guys on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. The outro song is The Last Ones by Jazar.